But joining us right now on the ESPN hotline, a former employee, and she was there for everything with the Dallas Mavericks from 2010 to 2014. It is Melissa Weishaupt. I would like to play you a cut from yesterday's Monday's interview with Mark Cuban and Rachel Nichols. Take a listen, and then I want your take on what he says, okay?
Okay.
All right.
There are former employees mentioned in this report who felt they had to leave the company. Things were so bad. Had to leave the profession because they couldn't get another job after sort of unceremoniously leaving your company. Have you called to talk to any of them, to apologize to any of them?
No.
Should you?
I mean, I don't know the circumstances. I don't know the individuals themselves because of the way the report's structured.
If one of those employees wants to identify herself and come to you and reach out to you to get some closure, are you open to that?
Yeah, I talk to the investigators because, again, I don't know what promises they made. I just don't know if I'd be the right person to try to solve it.
I wouldn't be surprised if somebody would like to talk to you personally.
I'm not closing any doors.
Yep.
I'm just trying, you know, I don't want to violate the privacy. You know what I'm saying.
Okay, Melissa Weishaupt is with us here on game night. I guess the question is,
just let her talk because she's laughing already.
Well, I just want to know, has he ever reached out?
No, never. No. And Alf, you've known me for many years, and we've had great conversations.
Yes.
So I'm always very honest. Like, and I think that I've been very honest through this whole process. So, I mean, I'm so Midwest. Like, what you see is what you get. So, no, Mark has never reached out.
And the idea that he doesn't know who the accusers are?
No, the idea that he doesn't know who I am or how to get my phone number?
Yes.
Crazy. Crazy. Like, come on. Like, I'll give him... I've said this because a couple of people have asked me this throughout the day today. Friends and then media folks have asked me this. And I've said the same thing. I feel people in Mark's position, and I'm not saying like CEOs, I'm just saying people that are in this particular position, in this type of era, movement, whatever it is, they feel awkward. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. It's like when your friend gets fired from a job and you don't really know what to say. He doesn't know what to say. He doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know how to react. And so at this time, he doesn't know how to react to me. What's he going to say? He already has said publicly he screwed up. Hindsight, he would have done it better. But there is a lot that he probably could sit down and say and learn. We could all learn from each other.
Yeah, and a personal apology would still be better. You know, he can't change anything.
No.
But knowing what we know now, just a personal apology would just allow everyone to move forward.
You know what would be great? That no one from the Mavs, while I worked there, and this is huge, and Anita Hill actually said this when she was doing an interview with John Oliver. And this stuck with me so much. And I have not said this to anybody, so this is breaking news for you guys. How can I help you?
Right.
Nobody has ever said that to me. What can I do for you? How can I help you? What's going on with you? He has never said that. He's in a position. He's in a position to help these people who've lost their careers. He's never said that. He's wiped his hands of it, and he's moved on from it. And they never helped us when we worked there, and they're not helping us now.
We're speaking with Melissa Weishaupt. She used to work for the Mavericks for 2010 to 2014, was there seeing everything. Obviously, was harassed herself by Terdima Usri. I can't even fathom, what the hell was it like being in that office, that facility, when all this crap was going on and you guys knew it was going on and nobody was doing anything about it?
It literally, Sports Illustrated nailed it. So it literally was like living in Animal House, and the wheels were so off. And I always say that it was such a dark comedy because I always go to a place of jokes and laughter to kind of get myself through the comedy of things. Because I can find humor in almost anything, but I shouldn't also say that because there was times when I had the trail of tears on the way home from work, and I had the trail of tears on the way to work, and I would get myself together in the car, and I would go into the office and say, all right, we're going to get ourselves together for the day. But it was a mess. I mean, I sat two or three people down from Chris Hyde, and we used to openly say, dude, the FBI is going to bust in this office because of whatever you're doing on your computer and who you're selling tickets to. Like, it was the office joke. It was, Trudema would openly fondle women in the office. We joked that Buddy was more concerned with the Post-it note inventory than what Trudema was doing to us.
In the backdrop of what happened and really what's going on all across the country and the Me Too movement, you know, do you see how this is prevalent in other businesses, other offices and in political settings and not just the Mavs office?
Oh, absolutely. You know how I knew it was so bad in the Mavs office? I knew it was bad, and I knew, like, the first few weeks there, and I went to a friend of mine, and I was like, is this normal? Like, is this how people kind of act here? And I knew right off the bat it was extreme. But when I left, I actually left to go work at Dallas ISD. And so what an extreme, working with children, that I went from a totally different environment. And I was actually working in South Dallas at one of the junior highs, and a student opened the door for me, and he was so courteous and he was so gracious, and we started chit-chatting, and I was like, so what do you want to do when you grow up, and just started having a very normal school conversation. And he was so courteous, and I thought, what world have I been living in for the past 4 years that I'm having a normal conversation with a 13-year-old kid who acts more like an adult than the guy that I worked for who went to an Ivy League college.
We're speaking with Melissa Weisshoff. She was in the article for SI. She wrote it. Worked for the Mavericks from 2010 to 2014. This is, of course, Game Night on ESPN. Mark Elfman, Clarence Hill Jr. In your article, there was a part that I just want to read, and I want to get your response to this because I thought this meant a lot. It was, you know, Mark Cuban and them talking, and this is your article. It says, sorry, it doesn't work that way. You own 100% of the team, Mark. The buck stops with you. When I worked on the Mavericks business side, all marketing, promotional, and broadcasting decisions went through you. Nothing was decided without your approval. I am using my name because I am convinced Cuban still doesn't recognize the culture he's helped create or the plight of the women who still work for him. From where I sit, Mark's response was to rush in like some white knight in a t-shirt, jeans, and yell, don't worry, ladies of the Mavs. I will help you with paid counseling and a hotline you can call. A, have you got money? B, where's the hotline?
I stand by my reporting, number one. And two, never got a dime out of it. And I have no idea where the hotline ever ended up. I think there is a hotline, but I have no idea where said hotline is. In fact, a very good friend of mine, we laugh. We're like, what's this hotline is? Like, I can find the Texas Hammer hotline easier than I can find this NBA hotline.
The Texas Hammer's everywhere. But
the Texas Hammer, that's why he's the Hammer.
He's everywhere. What do you think of the punishment? What do you think of, should he have been suspended more so than just paying $10 million, which is, I guess, what they pay two lower end members of the roster?
You know, gosh, I went back and forth on this about 10 times today. I mean, you know, kudos that women's organizations are going to get donations. So that's going to help people move forward. And I think that the organization's moving forward and doing better. So, you know, I think those are wonderful moves. You know, it's a check. I mean, he's writing a check and it's no big deal for him. I mean, it's already moving out of the news cycle. So we're all going to move on from it. You know, I think I think Media Day is tomorrow. So, I mean, they're going to move on from it really after the weekend. You know, I think he'll move on from it. He'll go back to Shark Tank. You know, like, he wasn't even in town for the press conference the other day. He had Ms. Marshall, Cynthia, take care of the press conference. I think he's going to lay low and do his thing. So I don't really know. I mean, honestly, I looked at the punishment the other day, or however you want to call it. That was our divorce papers. We signed our divorce papers the other day.
What did you learn from this whole thing?
I learned that you have to stand up for yourself, and you really, if you're going to do it, you go all in. Like, there's no halfway. And I knew that when I worked there, I stood up for myself. And when Sports Illustrated contacted me, I was hesitant at first, but then the more I went back and I started looking at notes that I left myself, and the more I started talking about it, the more I said, no, this has got to stop. This has got to change. And I didn't feel like it was I didn't feel like it was a Me Too movement. I felt like it was an employee advocacy movement, because I felt it wasn't right for men and women in the workplace. And I said this over and over, and I have said this over and over. Women weren't treated fair. Men weren't treated fair. We weren't paid what we were worth. And it wasn't, and I know that people say it's sports. Sports doesn't pay great. It was well below other teams in the NBA and other teams in professional sports. And it was a hostile work environment, and it needed to change for everybody. So I feel like if I stood up and if I had to take a year off of make it uncomfortable for myself, then you know what? So be it.
Well, bravo to you, Mel, for what you did.
Thanks, Al.
I really appreciate you coming on and joining us tonight and sharing your story. And listen, stay in touch. Best of luck to you, and we appreciate you popping on with us.
Thanks, buddy. Mazel. I love it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
You take care.